At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. And wow, I think I need a cigarette after that previous episode. Woo-wee! All right, let's not talk about the last episode. Let's talk about this episode. But before we talk about this episode, let me talk about just real quickly. We had a fantastic time last night. We went to the Music Box, well, the last two nights, really. And we went there because Cinema Femme had their yearly film festival. It was all short films this year. And, of course, I will give you a quick little reminder that Rebecca Fagerholm was on the Femme episode, F-E-M-M-E, and we talked about her organization. And so at the end of July here in 2025, they had their seventh annual, but it's their seventh festival. And we have not been able to go to most of them in any capacity. We did go to two nights this time. We went to a panel on Sunday, which was talking about Catherine Coulson, who was the log lady, and her Catherine Coulson's daughter came, and her best friend came, and then Sabrina Sutherland, David Lynch's producer, joined via Zoom, and they all talked about her from the personal side, the things, some of her work, but less of it and more of the personal things that she was doing. And it was an awesome panel just to hear this other side of her. And Wendy Roby showed up, who was in Twin Peaks and who also knew Catherine. And that was very nice. We got to talk with her a bit. And then last night was the closing night of the Cinema Femme Festival. And there was a 45 minute or so a little hangout in the lounge at the Music Box before the show started. And so we got to talk with a few new people who we had never met before. That's always a good time. And then the show started at 7 and they played a handful of shorts. And then there was a Q&A afterwards. And oh, I want everybody to be aware of this, of Cinema Femme and the festival and all the good that they are doing and the attention that they are bringing to these filmmakers, these people who don't get a voice as much as they should. Mostly women, queer, non-binary, and the films were great. And the people who came up for the Q&A, there were two people from Team Dream, which is about two senior citizen black women who are competing in swimming. They are going to the, what's the name of it, like the senior competition for various sports, mostly swimming. And so it was so inspiring to hear their story. They're in one of them's in their 70s and one of them's in their 80s, and they are kicking ass and looking good while doing it. And then the other one was Tara, who was a producer from a short film that was nominated for an Oscar. The short is called Aileen, or Aileen, but it looks like Alien, because it is about... It's about ICE and ICE taking people away, and it is horrifying. And this stuff is still happening. It's possibly, probably, definitely worse than when they made the film. You got to watch these movies and you got to support these filmmakers, support what they're doing. So that was an impactful few hours for us. Ugh, geez. Yeah, go check out Cinema Femme. Do it right now. All right. But first, well, after you do that, then come back here and listen to me talk about these words. The first word in this episode is fudge. Oh, fudge. Oh, fudge you. It is F-U-D-G-E. This is the first form. It's the verb from 1674. We are starting with transitive 1A to devise as a substitute. And the synonym is fake. Oh, I'm faking it. I have made a new version that's not the real thing, but I'm going to give it to you as a substitute. I'm going to fudge that thing, and you don't get to have the real thing. I'll keep the real thing. You can have the fudged thing. 1B, the synonym is falsify, as in fudged the figures. We are falsifying the figures. We are making them fake because we're trying to be sneaky and steal lots of money. So we got to fudge the figures. Put fudge on the numbers. Number two, to fail to come to grips with. The synonym is dodge, as in fudged the issue. So you're like dodging away, you're fudging the issue, you don't want to deal with it. You're like, I'm going to go over there, you can deal with that issue. To fail to come to grips with. I'm not coming to grips with that issue. I've got those issues, and I'm just going to fudge them. Put them right in the fudger. Intransitive time. Number one, to exceed the proper bounds or limits of something, as in, feel that the author has fudged a little on the rules for crime fiction. And I'm going to give that quote again, maybe read it a little bit better. But that is from Newsweek. So Newsweek feels that the author has fudged a little on the rules for crime fiction. What are the rules of crime fiction? Well, that author, they went around. They didn't do the proper bounds. They broke the rules or they bent the rules. Oh, is that something that you can do? Can you change the art form? Yes, that's how we make even cooler, better art, or just different art. Also, there's more. The synonym is cheat, as in fudging on an exam. Yep. It's like you like, oh, there's rules over there, but I don't like those rules. I'm gonna go this other way. I'm gonna cheat. Was there another synonym here? Nope. I'm just gonna cheat. I'm gonna fudge it. Fudge it. Number two, to fail to perform as expected. I thought that podcast where a guy was reading the dictionary would be like this, but no, he fudged it. He did not perform as we expected. Ah, I'll fudge you. Number three, to avoid commitment. The synonym is hedge, as in the government's tendency to fudge on delicate matters of policy. And that is a quote from Claire Sterling. The government likes to not be committed to certain delicate matters of policy, maybe hedging their bets. We'll talk about hedge in the H's, which is in the relatively near future for this podcast. Let's see. Okay, yeah, those were all the verb definitions for fudge. And the origin for this one specifically is unknown. Let's see. Actually, I'm not seeing any etymology for the word fudge at all, because we have a second form coming up. So, oh, I don't know. Maybe I should do a little research, and if I find anything in about 2 seconds of internet research, then I will put it in the show notes for fudge. Fudge. Let's see. That's it. I don't got anything else. Hedging, cheating, fudging, faking. Yeah, it's all that. All right, now my sound effect. Oh, you know, when somebody puts a plate of fudge in front of me, what do you say? That's also what I say. I go, oh, Is that what I say? The second form of fudge is a noun from 1766. Number one, foolish nonsense. This is often used interjectionally to express annoyance, disappointment, or disbelief. Foolish nonsense? What's foolish nonsense? It's fudge. Oh, fudge? You're using it interjectionally to express you're annoyed by something, you're very disappointed in something, or you disbelieve. What? I don't believe that at all. When he was failing to perform as expected, when he was fudging up the podcast, and I said, oh, fudge. Fudge you, Spencer. I'm so annoyed at you by not behaving how I thought you would behave. Foolish nonsense. I'm a little confused by this. So it is foolish nonsense, but you say it when you're feeling those things? I don't like that. That stuff's nonsense. It's foolish, so I say fudge. Number two, a soft... Yeah. A soft, creamy candy. Now, I wouldn't call it a candy, but they say it's a candy. It is a candy made typically of sugar, milk, butter, and flavoring. This, you go to a fudge store where the fudge is made, and there are all sorts of fudges, obviously, most of them are not vegan, so I cannot eat most of them, but every once in a while, I will come across a vegan fudge. Not often, but I will get it. I have fond memories of going to, Was it Saugatuck in Michigan? And I think they had like a well-known fudge store, I guess. I don't remember. And I just, or any time we were like on a vacation and there was fudge, my parents always were buying fudge. There were just blocks of fudge and we would get different flavors. Oh, fudge. I always like the, you know, chocolate, vanilla, peanut butter, chocolate, peanut butter. Put them together. Yes, please. Yes, those would be my go-tos for fudge. It's hard not to think of brownies when I think of fudge, but I guess when I think of brownies, I think of fudgy. Like, ooh, it's like a fudgy brownie. But fudge is different, and it's a really funny word. It's just a funny word to say, fudge. Oh, fudge. I want to look up pictures of fudge now. I just want to look up all of the fudge. Because you know what? We need some fudge in our life. We need to see this. There's blocks. But how do they do it? They think they make a big tray. There's a big tray, and it's like, what, 1, 2, 3 inches thick, maybe? And then they just cut it with a knife, and then you got these squares. Most of these fudges that I'm seeing are brown or tan, so it looks like a lot of chocolates. Oh, yes, there's caramel or caramel, vanilla, peanut butter. But then we got some over here. These have like sprinkles and they got nuts on top. Maybe they got nuts in the middle. They got nuts in the middle like me. I got nuts in the middle of this brain. But then this one's a light green and it's a pistachio flavor. So, fudge. And this one's got purple swirls. It's blueberry. You can make fudge out of anything, I think. That's the flavoring part of fudge. All right. What else? Number three, something that is fudged. Maybe those figures. But especially a bending of rules or a compromise. There was only one definition that had to do with the food. And what was the first usage of the word fudge? That's what I want to know. We don't have the etymology. The verb is from the 1600s. So would like faking or falsifying, was that the first time that they used the word fudge? Fudging something, fudging the figures? But then why are we using fudge for this candy? Is it like a fake version of something? Fudge people, call me up, send me an email, do something. If you have some thoughts on fudge, let me know. If you know where it came from, why do we call it fudge? Does it, like, I don't know, is it like the sound of the word is similar to the feeling that you get from the food, or the how it, I don't know. Come on. Fudge. Fudge. Next is fudge factor. Two words, noun from 1962. It is an arbitrary mathematical term inserted into a calculation in order to arrive at an expected solution or to allow for errors, plural, especially of underestimation, but broadly, any arbitrary unspecified factor, that is the fudge factor. So it's like you're
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a two-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hedging things. You're faking it. It's being, you're hedging it. It's cheating. It's, you're dodging. I don't know. One of those is probably fine in the mathematics. The fudge factor. I'd have to sit with that a little bit longer to fully get it. But I have a little bit of an understanding. Next is foo dog. This is F-U, second word, dog. The F is often capitalized, and this is a variation of foo dog, spelled F-O-O. And I remember that one. That was, what was it, like the lion-dog combination thing in China? I think that's what it was. Foo dog. Next is fuel. F-U-E-L, first form, noun, from the 13th century. 1a. A material used to produce heat or power by burning. You're going to burn it and it's going to give you heat. Maybe put some logs on the fire. That's fuel. The logs are the fuel for the fire. You're burning them. It's fuel. And then also you could put some fuel in a vehicle and it's going to make some fire, first of all, probably. Then it's going to make the car go. Look at that escargo. 1B, nutritive material. Ah, something that's very nutritious. I need my fuel. Oh, I wake up in the morning and I'm so hungry. I need some fuel. I'm going to eat this banana. That's fuel. The thing about nutritive material, the stuff that you put inside of you, is that you should get a healthy mix of all types of things and probably not do one thing too much over other things. Everything in moderation. A good mix of all of that stuff is, you know, the healthiest way to do it, I think. Get all your nutritive material, your fuel. 1C, a material from which atomic energy can be liberated, especially in a reactor. So this is, well, it's the nuclear stuff, a material, the fuel. In which atomic energy can be liberated. We are going to liberate that atomic energy from the plutonium, uranium, which one is it? Number two, a source of sustenance or incentive, as in, the synonym is reinforcement. Reinforcement? I need reinforcements here. We got too much food to eat. I need somebody to help me eat all this fudge. I think fudge is fuel. Yeah. Let's see. Anything interesting to say about the etymology? This is from the Latin focus, which means hearth. So, yeah, I mean, I think that has two meanings. The hearth, probably, you know, where that fire is happening. So you're putting the fuel on the fire, the wood, the logs, the coal. But also, maybe you're cooking the fuel for your body on the hearth, which is fueled by fuel. So you got a double fuel there with the hearth etymology. This second form of fuel is a verb from 1592 We are starting with transitive. Number one, to provide with fuel, I'm going to give you some fuel, so I'm going to fuel you. When people are doing those really long runs, there's people on the side who are given water and Gatorade, and they're fueling you because you need some fuel, and they are very happy to help. Be nice to them. Don't throw the cup back in their face. That would be very mean because they're just trying to fuel you up. Number two, the synonyms are support and stimulate. As in, movement is fueled by massive grants in aid. That is a quote from Alan Schick. Movement is fueled. Movement is supported, stimulated by massive grants in aid. We need massive grants. We need lots of money to help make a thing happen. And so the money is the fuel, basically, in that situation. The fuel is fueling. Now we have intransitive, which is to take in fuel. This one is often used with the word up. Fuel up. I'm going to take in some fuel. I'm going to take in that Gatorade, those electrolytes when I need to be fueled. I'm feeling so tired in my marathon. I'm only 1 mile in and I need some fuel. I'm going to fuel up. I was once, maybe I told this story, but that's okay. We can tell stories multiple times. I was once, for work, we were filming, I think it was a half marathon between, now I'm going to forget the names of those towns, wine country, Sonoma and the other one. And we were on one of the back roads where the run was going, and we were ready to go. And there's like some little family vineyards there. And some people had set up a table to give out tiny little samples of wine to the runners. And that was very interesting. There were a few people who stopped and like did a whole tasting. That's not maybe the best fuel for a run, but you know what? I don't think they're taking it too seriously. They're doing it to raise money and stuff. They're like, you know what? It's okay. And it was only a half. It's so easy. All right, where are we now? We are going to fuel cell. Two words, noun from 1922. This is a device that continuously changes the chemical energy of a fuel, like hydrogen, and an oxidant directly into electrical energy. Electrical energy. I don't understand how this works at all, but it's a fuel cell because it's taking in some fuel, like hydrogen, and it's turning it into energy. Good job, fuel cell. It's over 100 years old. Have we perfected this technology? Can we make it better? I don't know. I know they're working on hydrogen as a fuel for cars, so we'll see. Fuel injection. Two words, noun from 1900. A usually electronically controlled system for injecting a precise amount of atomized fuel into the cylinders or the intake airstream of an internal combustion engine. Fuel injected is an adjective. So it's the idea that the electronics in the vehicle, in the system, are saying, oh, just put in a little bit of fuel at a time. We're going to control it very precisely because maybe back in the day, before 1900, it was just like a barrage of fuel. And we're like, this is a waste of fuel. This is too much. We need to control this somehow. So maybe in 1900, I think that was around when the cars were being invented. So it was just the idea of injecting fuel into the engine. Maybe that's just where this term started. But at a certain point, the term fuel injection became about the electronics precisely adding the fuel to the system. So I don't know. That's just my guess. But you know, I'm fuel injected when I have my banana. I got a coffee thing over there. I'm not a coffee fiend like some people. I know some people who are like, my brain's not working. I need to be fuel injected by coffee. Just stick it into my veins. I'm not like that. I just like to, it's an excuse for sugar. That's my fuel. Fuel oil. two words, noun from 1893. This is an oil that is used for fuel and that usually has a higher flash point than kerosene. That's what it is. It's a higher flash point, is that means it burns at a higher temperature? Fuel oil. Mm-hmm. Fuel wood. One word. Noun from the 14th century. This is wood grown or used for fuel. What types of wood are specifically grown to be used for fuel? I mean, are there any woods that are not good to be used as fuel wood? What would those woods be? What would they be?
I don't know. What's your typical fuel wood? Let's look that up. Let's learn something for real. Instead of just asking questions, let's say, what is a typical fuel wood? What's the normal wood that you put on the fire? A typical fuel wood is wood that is harvested and used for burning to produce heat or energy. That's not my question. Let's see. Hardwoods like oak, hickory, and maple are often preferred for their density and slow, consistent burn. Because they're dense, they're going to burn slower, which is probably good. Softwoods like pine can be used, but often have drawbacks, probably because they're going to burn faster. It also depends on what you're using it for. You know, there's firewood, maybe for seasoning. What did we have in the previous one? Or like recently, there was something else. Apple wood, right? Cherry wood, there are those things. Maybe it's wood chips, wood pellets, charcoal, right? There's a whole lots of options for fuel wood. All right, now we are going to move on to fug. Yeah, fug, F-U-G. First form, noun from 1888. The stuffy atmosphere of a poorly ventilated space. Whoa, also, a stuffy or malodorous emanation. Ugh. This malodorous, this thing is coming out of me. It's emanating from me. And it's stuffy, and it's got a bad odor, and it's a fug. So the atmosphere of a room that's not being ventilated is called fug? The fug? I've never heard of this before. Fuggy is an adjective. Oh, this room is so fuggy. Ugh, gotta get out of here. The room, there's a lot of airports have those smoking rooms, which to me seem utterly disgusting. I don't know if they're well ventilated. I sure hope they are, but there are some that are probably pretty fuggy. Wouldn't want to go in there. It is perhaps an alternative of fog, which makes sense. Oh, it's so foggy. There's smoke in here. I'm going to call it fuggy. Interesting word. But we have another version of it. The second form of fug is a verb from circa 1889. Starting with intransitive, it is to loll indoors in a stuffy atmosphere. To loll or loll, L-O-L-L. We are not laughing out loudly. We are not laughing out loud languishingly. To loll indoors in a... So is this just hanging out? Loll? I don't know if I really know loll. Let's look up loll. Let's just do it. Let's just look up... What is this word? Why are we using this word here? We're lolling indoors? Let's see. Oh, there's Loki. Let's see. To hang loosely or laxly. Yes, we're just hanging out. We're hanging out in a lounge, in a cigarette smoke-filled room, a fuggy room. So we're fugging indoors in a stuffy atmosphere. Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that so much. It depends on how you're defining stuffy. Transitive is to make stuffy and odorous. I'm just going to fug up this room by smoking lots of cigarettes. Now it's fuggy.
I have fugged it up so good. All right. Huh. Yeah, didn't know that word. How am I just learning about this word? Is this a new word for you? Fug. Well, we have a few more words that may or may not be related. We've got, fugacious. F-U-G-A-C-I-O-U-S. It is an adjective from 1634. It means lasting a short time. The synonym is evanescent. Evanescent. It's just hanging out. It's just, oh, it's here for a little bit, and then it's gone. It's like a lightning bug. It's the lightning bugs are fugacious. The etymology says this is from the Latin fugere, which it doesn't say what that means, but I feel like I've seen that somewhere else, and I can't remember. I can't remember all the Latin words. I'm just reading them one by one periodically in this book. It's just here for a little bit, and then it's gone. It's fugacious. Next is fugacity. Fugacity, noun from 1902. It is the vapor pressure of a vapor. The vapor pressure of a vapor, assumed to be an ideal gas, obtained by correcting the determined vapor pressure and useful as a measure of the escaping tendency of a substance from a heterogeneous system. Whew. Well, it says it's from the word fugacious, which was the one that's just lasting a short time. So it has to do with the pressure of a vapor. Ideal gas obtained by correcting the determined vapor pressure and useful as a measure of the escaping tendency of a substance from a heterogeneous system. So, you know, you got vapor in the air. Depending on the pressure and other things, it might be there and leave right away. And so that's, you know, where the fugacious part comes from. So if it has fugacity, it has some sort of this pressure. But I could also see a connection now to the word fug. Maybe it came from fug. I'm not sure. Not necessarily. But, you know, if there's this, like, vapor in the air, then, yeah, it's a fog and a fug, and it's all fugacious. Interesting. Okay, now we're going to go to fugal, F-U-G-A-L. It's not a bugle, and it's not a fugal horn. It's fugal. Adjective from 1854. This is of, relating to, or being in the style of a musical fugue, which I think is that going to be, what is that, F-U-G-U-E? Which will be in the next episode. No, wait a minute. Is it here at all? Is it under this one? It's under here. It's under my post-it. There we go. Fugue will be in the next episode. So is it like a fugue, a musical fugue? It's fugal. Fugally is an adverb. Oh, yeah. Now we have the suffix. Fuge? I think you'd pronounce it fuge. F-U-G-E. It's a noun suffix, no year, and it means one that drives away. The example is febrifuge, which I have to go back to look up that word, because then I can maybe give you a little bit more context, I guess, of maybe what this suffix is being used as. Febrifuge is, that's not helpful, antipyretic. Something about no burning, maybe. It's driving away the fire in that context. Are there other words that use the suffix fuge? I should look that up. The etymology says this is from the Latin fugare, which means to put to flight. To put here, I'm going to put you to flight. I feel like there was another word that we came across that was maybe sort of similar to that. Let's just look up. What words have the suffix F-U-G-E? Yeah, let's do that. These are lists of common suffixes with examples.
Oh boy, this are we gonna? We got to do a find on this page because I'm not gonna find it otherwise. What fugue is not on here? Do I have to put the dash? Where's the dash? I gotta go look for the dash. There it is. Nope, it's not on here. Well, that's not helpful. That's a terrible site. Whatever. I guess we're not gonna learn about other words that end in fuge. All right, fine. That's very sad. But now we are going to go to our very last word. Fudge. No, the word is fugitive. First form, F-U-G-I-T-I-V-E. Adjective from the 14th century. Oh, I should put this paper on this side. It doesn't really do anything, but I put it there anyway. Number one. Okay, so this is adjective, right? We're describing something as a fugitive thing. So, number one, running away or intending flight. Ah, see, now we're learning about the Latin fugare, to put to flight. A fugitive is being put to flight. They're going, they're leaving, they're running away. They're very scared, they're sad, whatever. We have a couple examples. A fugitive slave, also a fugitive debtor. Like debt, D-E-B-T-O-R. Maybe they owe a lot of money, and they're like, I can't pay that off. I'm going to run away. I'm going to be a fugitive. Now, number two, moving from place to place. The synonym is wandering. I'm just a fugitive person, just going from place to place. I'm going to live here for a little bit, then I'm going to live over there for a little bit, because not all those who wander are lost. Number three, A, being of short duration, just a short little bit of time. That's fugitive? I guess I don't really hear fugitive used as an adjective very much, do I? I don't think so. I think it's more the noun. 3B, is difficult to grasp or retain. The synonym is elusive, like maybe. Something that is fugacious. Oh, it's just here for a little bit. Oh, I can't grab it. Oh, it comes and goes as it pleases. That's a fugitive gas. 3C, likely to evaporate, deteriorate, change, fade, or disappear, as in dyed with fugitive colors. Whoa, okay. Fugitive colors? They're running away from their fascist regime? No, they are likely to evaporate, deteriorate, change, fade, or disappear. They're going to change in some way, those colors. When you're dyeing your hair, dyeing your shirt, those colors are, they're fugitive colors. Okay, interesting. And number four, being of transient interest, as in fugitive essays. Essays are of transient interest? Like I'm only interested in it for a little bit? Or what is that? How are we, what's going on with those essays? I'm a little confused by that. Transient interest. Or like maybe we're just, as a society, maybe we're just interested in it for a little bit. Or it's only interesting for a short period of time. I'm not sure. Those are fugitive essays. Wow, this one was fascinating. I don't think I'm familiar with fugitive as an adjective. A synonym for the whole thing is just transient, right? The people are transient. The vapors are transient. The essays are transient, I guess. The colors are transient. Fugitively is an adverb, and fugitiveness is a noun. Yeah. So, any additional etymology? Well, we have, okay, here we go. We got a little bit more. The Latin verb fugere means to flee. And we saw that one. That's the one that I was talking about before for the word fugacious. It's from the Latin fugere, but now we know that that means to flee. Like the things that are fugacious, they're only around for a little bit of time. And so they're like, I gotta go. I got stuff to do. I gotta flee. I'm gonna flee. I'm just gonna be a vapor in the air for a little bit, and then I gotta go. My time's up.
So fugere, to flee, also akin to the Greek fugin, which also means to flee. So yeah, that's what it's all about, fleeing. So anything else? Did I forget anything? Let me know if I forgot anything important. If I did, you can email me and I'll read it. I'll read it on an episode. You can leave a voicemail. Why don't you go ahead and write a review? And I will be so pleased with your review if it is 5 stars. Okay, that is it. We're going to talk about the second form of fugitive in the next episode, but I think you probably have a pretty good idea of where that's going. It was not me. It was the one-armed man. All right, let's read the words so we can pick a word of the episode. We had fudge, fudge, fudge factor, foo dog, fuel, fuel, fuel cell, fuel injection, fuel oil, fuel wood, fug, fug, fugacious, fugacity, fugal, fuge, and fugitive. I was fascinated by this last section of words that all started with F-U-G, about things that are just like here and then not here, and then the stuff hanging in the air, and it's a fascinating little bit of business. Do I have to pick fudge? I think I might have to pick fudge. What was that thing that we used to say as kids, which we've never said as an adult? Oh, it's very immature. It's like, okay, fine, let's do it. Oh, and then what's her name, did a very fun song about this. Milk, milk, look, can we sing it? Milk, milk, lemonade. Round the corner, fudge is made. Fudge, fudge, fudge. That's it. We're not going to do that one again because it's so immature and we are not immature people at all. Are we? No, of course not. Fudge, fudge. I just want some fudge. Can you get me some fudge? Go get me some fudge. Do I have to go get myself some fudge? I don't know where I'm supposed to get vegan fudge. It's out there. Fudge, 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 fudge. Fudge the numbers by getting fudge on your fingers and touching the numbers, and then they'll be fudged. Great. Fantastic. Now I want some fudge. For real. All right. That is the end of that part of the episode. I'm going to tell you about another movie that we watched, which was, I believe I know it off the top of my head, but I'm going to confirm because I didn't look at my list before. Yes, we watched Adaptation. We had not seen this movie since it came out. Did I only see it one time? This is one of those movies that I loved immediately and then like never watched again until recently. Decades, I think, have gone by. Yeah, probably. What year? I don't know. 2002, maybe? Man, what this movie... Charlie Kaufman, come on. Spike Jones directed it, I think. And if you have never seen Adaptation, you got to see Adaptation. And you know what? Maybe you need to, as soon as it's done, put it on again and rewatch it, because I feel like it's at least a double watcher. Do a double feature of the same movie twice, because it all, it's like, oh, now I see what's going on. Oh, it hurt my brain and I want to think about it more and talk about it and all that stuff. Come on. Nicolas Cage, Chris Cooper, Meryl Streep. Oh, boy. All right. Well, that is going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking it out. Go get some fudge. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.